Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Diana Wiley, and I am your host of Love, Lust, and Laughter. What is somatic sex coaching? Well, this topic is rarely discussed or fully understood, so stay tuned because you're going to have a better understanding of it, because the expert is Dr. Charlie Glickman. Welcome, Dr. Charlie.
Hi, it's a pleasure to be back on the show again.
Yes, you are back on the show. You were on the show the beginning of this year, and then a couple of years before that, you were on a couple of times. You are the author of The Ultimate Guide to Prostate Pleasure, Erotic Exploration for Men and Their Partners. And we've talked about that before, and no doubt will again. But for this program, we're going to talk about your sexological body work. And Charlie, I wish you would tell us the difference between sexological body work, sex therapy, and sex surrogacy. And I should say that all of this is available on one of your websites, makesexeasy.com. But let's give our listeners a preview. So the difference between sexological body work and sex therapy and sex surrogacy. But before you answer, I should have said that you are a sex and relationship coach, a sexuality educator, a sexological body worker, which is what we're going to talk about today, this evening in New York, and an internationally acclaimed speaker. And I know firsthand that you are a very good speaker, and so let's let our audience have the experience of you. So what's the difference between sexological body work, sex therapy, and sex surrogacy?
And these other things. Well, first off, let me describe what sexological body work is, because that'll make it a little easier to understand the difference.
Yeah, good, good.
So sexological body work, which is also known as somatic sex coaching, is body-based, so experiential education in erotic embodiment. So let me break that down, because that was a lot of big words. It's body-based, it's somatic and experiential, because there's a lot of value, I find, in talking about our experiences. You know, I have gotten great value out of having a therapist to help me process my experiences, my things that I'm going through, what have you. But there's also ways in which that approach has its limits. And one of them is that you really have to do it based on your recollection of events, and then being able to talk about it with your therapist. Maybe there were things that you didn't notice along the way, and so if so, you certainly can't talk about them. Sexological body work is somatic in that we work with the body in real time, in the moment. And
in the moment.
Education, right. And it's education because the focus is on learning something. So there may be different kinds of touch that happen. There may be experiences that do feel pleasurable, but the goal is not simply to have a pleasurable experience and then move on. The goal is to actually uncover something or learn something about your body, your sexuality, your emotions. And then the second half of that was erotic embodiment. And what I mean by that is that a lot of people, when they get turned on, when they are having sex, they're not fully present. You know, sometimes people tune out or check out. Maybe they dissociate a little bit, and this can happen for many reasons. Sexual shame or lack of information or fear or trauma, or simply not having the skills to stay present in your body. And so
I find that is among my clients, that is so common. And as I read your your website and really looked more closely at your sexological body work. I'm thinking I have one or two clients, and I'm sorry, Charlie, that it's taken me this long, who would be open to this. I have many that would not be, and we can talk about that if it's a fit.
Sure.
I can see how it could be very, very helpful for certain people.
Sure. Well, and there's a lot of different ways that we do it too. There's many different ways. So as one example, I had a client who wanted to explore her relationship with her boundaries and why it was difficult for her to communicate them and maintain them. And so we did a session where, this was all pre-negotiated, but we were sitting on the couch in my office. And I sat right up next to her, and then I put my arm around her shoulders. And it gave her an opportunity to practice saying things like, take your arm away, stop touching me, whatever it was that she wanted to say in that particular instance. We did this, several times over the course of this experience.
Boy, does this ever play into the current conversations on consent and the Me Too movement.
Yeah. Well, and what it really highlighted was she was able to see in real time in a really safe environment that whenever she felt like somebody was crossing her boundaries, she would get so anxious that she would just freeze. And so we talked about here's the somatic or asomatic piece about this. We talked about where she felt that in her body and what were the sensations that were there and what does that tell her about some of her patterns around sexual communication. And we were really able to play with that until we found a way for her, and actually I was also able to reflect things like, in this instance, you felt like you were being very clear in your communication, but if I wasn't paying close attention, I might not have noticed what you said. It was huge. It was huge. Or I was able to say to her, the way you said that, that could have felt very attacking to me. And, maybe that's a factor. And so we were able to go back and forth until we found a way for her to use her words that felt authentic to her and also was easy for somebody else to hear. So she came to see you.
Did she have a partner, a sexual partner?
Not at that time. And in fact, that was one of the reasons. She'd recently gotten the... And
Charlie?
She was starting to date again.
Yeah.
She knew that it was important to have these skills, but she didn't want to do it in a relationship where trial and error can really be fraught with difficulty.
She wanted more confidence.
She wanted to train before she actually ran a marathon.
Yeah, there you go. That's right. And actually, the one client that I'm thinking could benefit from this has that metaphor would exactly apply to her.
That's great.
Yeah. You'll probably be getting a referral from me soon.
Fantastic. And one of the advantages of this kind of work is that I could also say to this client, to this woman, I don't know if you are aware of this, but whenever you are telling me, to stop doing something, you get a smile on your face, and it looks to me like you're trying to make sure that I don't feel upset. is that what's going on for you? And you know, she never would have known that that was part of her pattern when, in a more standard talk-based therapy situation, because she didn't even realize she was doing it. It's so yeah, I get to actually see people in real time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I've called it for years a female disease, and that's the effort to please others.
Yeah.
At all costs, including cost to oneself.
Exactly.
To not be able to speak up.
Exactly.
And so if you can train that, coach that, along with, well, we'll get into the more hands-on experience that you do in somatic coaching.
Right.
Sexological work.
So these are the kinds of sessions that I would start with to build the mm-hmm. relationship and get some of those skills going. When we start shifting into sexological body work, there are often, often involves a lot more touch than that. But just to set the container, the code of ethics for sexological body work is that all touch is one way from me to the client rather than them touching me back. And
right.
I'm staying fully clothed, right? So I'm wearing, a t-shirt and yoga pants. So this is very mm-hmm. different from a more erotic situation because this really isn't about me at all.
Right.
And for any genital touch, I'm also wearing gloves as a way of maintaining safety and hygiene. And the intention in these kinds of sessions is, again, to help people discover something about their bodies. Whether that's what kind of touch you like where. So, maybe somebody discovers ways that they like to be touched that they didn't know about or that they didn't have the language for. Sometimes it's about helping somebody learn how to stay present instead of checking out when they're experiencing touch, whatever it might be. And what makes this different from sex therapy is that sex therapy is really therapy that focuses on sexuality in the same way that some therapists have expertise around grief or overcoming drug and alcohol addiction or whatever their areas of focus are. Sex therapy is therapy that focuses on sex.
Yes, as a sex therapist and a licensed marriage and family therapist for some 38 years, if I did that sort of touching, I could lose my license. This is not
exactly
within my purview. But exactly. I really appreciate, and in fact, when I was back in California years ago, I worked with one of Bernie Zilbergeld's surrogates for a client I had who was a 30-year-old virgin and didn't want to be anymore, but he'd come out of a very religious family. So I value the hands-on therapy that can be provided by a surrogate or by a sexological body worker like yourself. I think yours is even more educational, your body work. And you are licensed. Talk a little bit about your credentials.
So sexological body work is an unlicensed profession. There is a certification, but the certification only exists in the state of California.
Right.
So it is unlicensed because, we live in a very touch-phobic society for reasons both realistic and fear-based. So that is one thing that can make this a little challenging for some people to wrap their brains around. But I want to circle back to this question of surrogacy versus sexological body work. I have huge respect for surrogates. They do amazing work. But what they tend to focus on is more of the foundational pieces of touch and intimacy. And in fact, contrary to common misunderstanding, most surrogacy is not actually having sex with a client. You know, they're really focusing on presence and how to notice what kinds of touch you want to do. But it tends to be at a very foundational level. Like you're talking about this guy who was 30 years old from a very religious background, hadn't had any sexual experiences. And how do we help him get some of those skills when you're needing something that's at that level? Sexological bodywork is more oriented for people who have those experiences and then they're wanting to take it a little bit further. So there's a difference in scope, I think, is the best way to say it.
And let me say at this point, when I write this show up, so it'll be on my website, drdianawiley.com, and PRNs as well, Progressive Radio Network. But I think it's really important to be open to these experiences, and it can make such a difference. You have on your website, Making Sex Better, you have some common concerns, and these are exactly accurate to the concerns that so many of my clients have. Difficulty with orgasm, checking out during arousal, so hard, especially for women, I must say, who do this. They check out during arousal. They multitask. You know, their brains are designed with a bigger corpus callosum, the connecting tissue between the right and left hemispheres, so that if they're having sex with their partner and they have a baby and the baby cries, they can respond to the baby. But after the baby's grown up, they're still doing that. They're multitasking. They're not really present.
No.
And then
it's especially tricky. In addition to the neurological aspects of that, which you know, definitely seem to be real, there is also the sociocultural aspect to that, because you know women are taught and trained. Well, you have to juggle things. You have to multitask. You have to be, you know, cooking the kids' lunch while cleaning the house, while you know, getting ready for work, and by the way, don't forget these five other things. So there's also a lot
exactly.
There's a lot of social factors that play into this, and
so many, and that's one of the most difficult things that I face as a sex therapist is helping the woman stay present. But I think that you can do it even more effectively directly.
Yeah. Well, I think, like I said, I think there's huge value in being able to talk with somebody, right, in the context of therapy. I've gotten an incredible benefit from it. But what is tricky there is if a client says to you as a therapist, oh, well, you know, I have difficulty staying present during sex. That's helpful. But you don't necessarily know what it is that makes them check out. Whereas I might be able to notice something like, you know, when I touch you on your back, it seems to happen. Or when I touch you really firmly or really softly, it seems to happen. Or when I'm doing something that you aren't necessarily wanting and you go into enduring it rather than choosing it, that's when that happens. And so I can give them that feedback in real time, and then that gives us something to work on. Or they can take that information to you or, you know, another therapist and get some support around that. My favorite thing is when somebody works with me and they have a therapist, because then we get the best of both worlds.
Yes, absolutely. That long ago client and the surrogate through Dr. Bernie Zilbergel. I referenced him before, but he was, he's no longer with us, but he was a wonderful therapist and wrote male sexuality books that were really helpful for so many. Anyway, I think that working together can give a lot of information. Don't you think that a lot of trauma memories are stored in the body? So that's one reason it can be so helpful if you're touching your client. We'll talk about that a little bit more.
Sure.
Trauma stored in the body.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Trauma is definitely stored in the body. And that can, you know, there are a lot of different theories about why that is or where that comes from. But wherever it comes from, you know, there are experiences that people have, from the past where something in the present day can bring it back up to the surface. So maybe there's a way of being touched that reminds you of when somebody violated your boundaries. Or maybe, that's an easy way to think about triggers. But another way that it shows up is that when we go into a trauma reaction, the body goes into the fight, flight, freeze cycle.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And especially if it's a shock trauma, which is like a big event, or if it's a series of smaller traumas that happen over time, like a developmental trauma, the body goes into a flinch reaction. Maybe somebody starts to curl up into a ball and makes themselves small. Maybe they look down or look away. There's that sort of flinch reaction that can happen. And in addition to that, those flinch reactions can definitely get wound up in the pelvic floor.
Yes.
I think we talked about this when we were talking about prostate play, but that, you know how when a dog or a cat is scared and they tuck their tail under? Humans have the same response to stress. We just don't have a tail to make it visible.
So,
So, for example, when somebody feels threatened, their pelvic floor might tighten up. If somebody has a history of trauma, their pelvic floor might tighten up so much that it can cause erection problems or vaginismus, which is painful penetration. Like even just a tiny, like a pinky finger, can cause pain with penetration.
And I have lots of clients with that. I usually work with Dr. Serena McKenzie, a naturopath specializing in sexual medicine, on that. But I can see, because you have on one of your websites body work experiences scar tissue remediation. You've got that. I've got somebody with that who had some surgery around scar tissue from having babies that was never worked out. And vaginismus, and I've been working with those women for years, and a lot of times we think of it as an emotional trauma from the past that signals physiological closing, like I'm not going to let anything into my vagina because it's in the past, it's caused me trouble.
Yeah.
So the vagina clenches up, and penetration is often not possible. It's a very real thing.
It is,
as you know.
There's really these things happen in the body because they're happening in the nervous system. Right. Fundamentally, trauma is an injury to the nervous system, if we look at the physiology of it. And so it can show up anywhere in the body. But particularly, you know, because of the shame in our culture around sex and the way that the pelvic floor tightens up around stress and trauma. And so this can have really significant impact on people's sex lives. And I've talked, and I know you have too, I've talked with a lot of people, mostly women, but not only women, who have had multiple experiences of, you know, enduring painful sex because they feel like that's the only option there is. You know, nobody has told them that that's something that, you know, they might be able to address with, you know, whether it's a physical therapist or a sexological body worker or a doctor, you know, whatever it is.
Or all three, because I think
all three
could be very helpful.
Yeah.
Need to learn that they don't have to endure it. And my experience is if they have a partner, and they often do, kind of often expressed in a long-suffering husband, that the man does not, he wants to bring his partner pleasure. He doesn't want to bring her pain. So sometimes the man experiences erectile dysfunction. Or, you know, and rejection and all kinds of things that, This is a big problem.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it is a really, it's a tricky thing because you're right, a lot of men really do want to be able to be responsive and attuned lovers. But we also don't get much training in how to do that. Right?
Good point.
And a lot of guys, you know, never learned how to talk about emotions, theirs or their partners. You know, they don't have the tools that they need to do what they want to do. You know, and that has its own challenges. So yeah, there's a lot of moving parts.
And so you sometimes, I think you more work with individuals, but sometimes couples or tell me about that. Tell us about that.
I work with individuals and couples. You know, sometimes, you know, I've done sessions, for example, where a couple will come in and they're having challenges around touch because, you know, stereotypically, and, you know, in a male-female couple, although I've seen this show up in many couples of other sexual orientations and gender combinations, but stereotypically, you know, maybe he's a little clumsy about how he touches because he doesn't have practice at it yet. And she doesn't have skill at asking for what she wants or setting boundaries. And so she goes into enduring and resenting. And then it just can turn into a train wreck. Another example is that he's doing something because he thinks it's what she wants. She's going along with it because she thinks it's what he wants. And so now they're both trying to please each other, and neither of them is actually getting what they want.
And so, I see this too. It's really sad. And for those that can overcome, and sometimes it's, of course, you facilitate communication.
Yeah.
Because, well, for one thing, and I'm going to put this in the review of today, you offer a 30-minute phone consultation at no charge. And, of course, this is important if the person continues on with you, that you have a sense of what they expect.
Exactly.
Expand a little bit, Charlie, on that 30-minute free consultation and what that can mean for you and for the client.
Sure. Well, actually, before I do that, I just want to close the loop on working with couples.
Yes. You're such a good guest. You're such a good guest because you keep me on track. That's good. So, all right. So, expectations about a couple.
Yeah. Well, and so I might be, I've worked with couples in a variety of ways, including things like, you know, okay, so I'll demonstrate something like a technique or a way of touching on partner A, and then I'll coach partner B in trying to do the same thing. Right? And the advantage to that is not only does partner B see what I'm trying to do, but partner A can give feedback like, oh, wait, Charlie did that a little firmer, and I really liked that. Or he did it this other way. And so we can actually have real-time feedback to help people figure out what's going on. When I work with couples, I frequently find myself helping people figure out what each of their patterns are and then how to translate into the other person's way of doing it. So like one good example is the love languages. Gary Chapman's, you know, the five love languages.
He's been on the bestseller list for 9 or 10 years with his love languages, and I don't know of any other therapist who's had that kind of success.
It's so simple. If one person's love language is words of affirmation and they want to get positive feedback and praise, and the other person's primary love language is physical touch and they feel connection through physical touch, you know, rather than this couple being stuck in their feelings of resentment and you never give me what I want, I sort of jump in here and say, okay, so you're saying this. Let me translate that into the other person's language. Okay, wait, does that sound good? Okay, now person A, now you say what I just said. Right, so
that could be very therapeutic.
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge. Mm. And, you know, the trick for me is to not get in the middle. So I try to be supportive without getting in the middle, which, you know, I'm pretty good at. It does occasionally happen, but, you know, then we just deal with that. But so
it's another boundary issue, isn't it?
Exactly. So many boundary things come up. So when I work with couples, I see myself as the facilitator of their process and their communication.
Mm-hmm. I think some of our listeners might be wondering what sort of touch and all of that. And before you answer, I'm aware of, you probably know Back to the Body. The founder is Pamela Madsen, author of Shameless.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so they have Back to the Body retreats from all over, New Orleans to South Africa, and it costs $4,300 to $5,800, and they have daily activities, these retreats. This is for women only. Mm-hmm. Yoga, group therapy, never more than 9 women, sex coaching with hands-on. Now, they offer the women female or male sexological body workers. Mm-hmm. When I was reading about this, the body worker checked in first to figure out what the woman was looking to experience prior to getting on the table. Mm-hmm. And one woman said, oh, it's easier to be with a stranger who is only there to please me and has no expectations, and I'm sure you can relate to that.
Yeah.
But there is no kissing, oral sex, or penetration, and if they manually stimulate you, they use a glove. So I'm wondering about what you do.
That's
similar?
All the way down. That's the same all the way down. And in fact, that is the requirement for people who are providing sexological body work. You know, that's the code of ethics that we all agree to, because that's a way of maintaining the focus on the client. It's not about me. It's not about my turn on. It's about what this person needs. There's a real, and that's really important for people to understand, because this isn't about partner engagement. It's not that partner engagement is important. It's also just potentially challenging in this kind of context. There are people who provide that as a healing modality, usually under the name sacred intimacy. But mm-hmm. that for me, that's a boundary that I like to keep because it just helps me stay more centered and present in myself. So, and actually, I just remembered you wanted me to circle back and talk about my intake process.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Please
well,
do.
I always offer a free half-hour video call. I like video. And as an introduction, and I do that for a couple of different reasons. One is that, this work is not necessarily the right match for everybody. And the easiest way to find out about that beforehand is just to be able to talk about, what is this person coming to me for? What would they like to do? And there have definitely been times when I've suggested a different modality that might work a little bit better. And that's especially important when people think that what they're facing is a sexual challenge, but it's really, for example, a challenge with trauma. I mean, I am trained in working with trauma, but there are people who specialize in it. And sometimes I will actually suggest that somebody work with one of those folks first. But I also do the intake call because I want people to know that they feel comfortable with me before we meet in person. I might not be the right fit. Maybe they need somebody.
Yes.
Who's a different gender, or they need somebody with a different perspective, or, they need somebody who has shared experiences with them, maybe they want to work with someone from the same cultural background, whatever it is. And so by doing those get acquainted calls, it's a way of us both making sure that we're the right fit.
That's so important.
Say half an hour, but it is frequently a little bit longer than that, especially when it's a couple, just because there's so many moving parts. But, this work is unique. It's not the right thing for all people or all situations. And I think I would rather give, 30 or 45 minutes of my time and make sure that I'm the right match than have someone come meet me in person and feel disappointed by that.
Well, I think that's a very ethical thing to do, Charlie.
Well thank you. I do also, I think some of it, too, is that as a man doing this work, for very good reasons, people need a little bit more support before they decide whether they want to take a chance on me. There's good reasons for people to have some skepticism about working with a man sometimes, and so this just makes it easier for everybody.
Absolutely. There's a parallel in the way you work to the way I work, in that a lot of my new clients, and I'm accepting very few of them these days just because of my schedule being full, but if I do accept them, they find me usually through my website or a referral from a doctor. And I always insist on at least a 10-minute, 15-minute phone conversation first.
And personality.
Because I want to know what they're expecting and what are their concerns. And it's really important. What are their concerns? And you've got that on your website, and the common concerns you deal with: difficulty with orgasm, checking out during arousal, relief from pelvic pain, such a big one, learning to receive sensual touch, recovering sexual functioning and pleasure after childbirth, genital, pelvic, breast surgery, trauma. We've already touched on a little bit of that. Learning to receive sexual touch. Am I rushing you in terms of the way that we
No, not at all.
Because I think, because we did talk about this in some prior shows, because it's so hard. You know, a lot of men love to, the enlightened men, including, thank goodness, my darling husband, loves to give pleasure. And I know how to receive it as well, but lots of women and men don't know how to receive it.
Yeah, a lot of
receiving pleasure, it's a big topic.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people feel guilty about receiving, or they feel uncomfortable having the attention on them. You know, they would rather,
yes.
I think a lot of people become focused on giving as a way of not feeling selfish, for example. But, you know, one of my teachers said something really powerful, which is that being a skilled lover means finding the balance between being selfish and selfless. You know,
oh, I love that. So being a skilled lover requires, I'm making a note because this is, I'll put it in the summary.
That's a good line, isn't it?
Yeah, being a skilled lover requires being selfish and selfless. No.
Right. And being able to move back and forth between the two, finding the balance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people really struggle with that for different reasons. You know, I've talked with people who struggle with it because they don't feel like they deserve it, and people who feel like, you know, if the attention is all on them, then, you know, they feel pressured by that, or people who simply, you know, if they are receiving pleasure, suddenly they feel really uncomfortable, maybe because it is triggering for them or it reminds them of unwanted attention that they have. You know, lots of different reasons here. But there is also a gendered difference, because a lot of men have difficulty receiving pleasure because the messages that we receive is that we're supposed to do. You know, we talk about things in terms of, you know, men in heterosexual context, right? Men give women orgasms. Women give men blowjobs.
Yeah, right. And that's so limiting.
Right?
It's amazing to me how many men still think, obviously erroneously, that they can give the woman an orgasm.
Yeah, but that's
I met a man, not in therapy, but this was some years ago, but I guess I was dating him, and I corrected him immediately, but he said, oh, some women, you almost have to back them up against a wall and fuck them. I can say that on PRN, it's okay. And in order to give them an orgasm, I said, no. The man facilitates the orgasm, and it's the woman's responsibility to stay present and to know her body, and for the man to be skilled in knowing her body, whether it's her clitoris, whether it's intercourse where he's giving her G-spot some stimulation, or perhaps her cervix. But he facilitates it. He doesn't give it to her, and her responsibility to be responsive.
Exactly. I mean, and funny,
to be present.
It's the one area where we use this kind of language, and it's so tricky. And it's sneaky. And you know, it brings up, this is where performance anxiety comes in. And I really dislike the term performance anxiety, because if we're performing, then we are not being authentic.
Right? Performing anxiety, yeah.
You
performing
know,
anxiety,
really,
so that would be the guy with premature ejaculation and erectile dysfunction.
Right, and even those terms, and you know I don't have a better language to use for it, but, you know,
right.
You know, premature ejaculation means I came earlier than I wanted to, but we don't have a good definition of what premature means.
That's right.
Know, and I've certainly talked to people, you know, of all genders who say that, yeah, like my boyfriend, he just keeps pounding me during sex for like 40 minutes. I was done 10 minutes in, you know, how can I get him to stop doing that?
Uh-huh.
You know, so a lot of what I do, you know, when it comes to teaching people how to receive pleasure, you know, part of how I navigate that is by helping them understand that the better you are at receiving pleasure, the better you are at giving it, because you know what it is that your partner is experiencing.
That's really important, Dr. Charlie. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
The better at receiving pleasure, the better you are at receiving pleasure, the better you are at giving it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just
making notes as we go. But that's so true.
And just to be clear with folks, that doesn't mean that you have to receive in the same way. I'm not saying that you have to receive in the way that you want to give, although for a lot of people that works really well. But for example, a lot of people, especially a lot of men, get so uncomfortable if they're on the massage table and just receiving a back massage, you know, from their partner, and they feel guilty about it or they feel shame about it. You know, and so I do.
What's
think
been
that
your
a lot
experience,
people,
Charlie? What's been your experience with men who have that sort of guilt about? I mean, is it all tied in with receiving pleasure, even as something as simple as a back massage on the table?
You know, it really depends a lot on their specific history and their circumstances.
Right.
I was working with a heterosexual couple around this because she really wanted to be able to give him a pleasurable touch. And every time she started to, you know, he would start to get anxious and then he would turn it around and he would move into doing because it was his way of managing his anxiety. And so we did an exercise in my office where, you know, she was massaging his arm. You know, we set a timer for 5 minutes, a fairly short span of time.
Mm-hmm.
And his job was simply to let her touch his arm and stay as present as possible and sort of narrate to us what it was he was feeling emotionally. And, you know, it started off with, I'm feeling really relaxed, I'm enjoying our connection time. And then it started to shift into anxiety. And he realized through this exercise together that the reason why he was so focused on giving is that there was something for him about receiving that made him feel anxious. And that was a way of deflecting it. And then over time, what it came out of that was that he had been sexually abused as a child.
Yeah, I was going to guess that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he felt so uncomfortable because he didn't know how to ask for what he wanted or tell someone to stop. He didn't feel safe. And so once he realized that's what it was, that became the opening for him to do some really significant healing work around that. And he definitely got to the place where he was able to receive touch without being so scared anymore. It took a while, right?
And that's a wonderful outcome. And it must give you immense satisfaction in terms of your work.
I love knowing that there are people out there having better sex, more attuned relationships because of the work that I do and that you do. And, you know, it's just such a groundbreaking thing. And especially when people don't make the connection. You know, I also talked with a guy once who came to me because he was convinced he had erection difficulties. And he was like, just tell me about Viagra. Tell me what I need to do. But when I started asking him about it, it turned out that he had lost his job. His home was in foreclosure as a result. He and his wife were so stressed out about money and, you know, how are we going to take care of our family? And he didn't realize that the reason why he was having erection problems was that his nervous system was under extreme stress.
Yeah.
You know?
Extreme.
Yeah, I mean, you don't get an erection when you're super stressed because, you know, if you're walking through the woods and a bear starts chasing you, you don't want an erection then. You want to be able to run.
That's the fight or flight.
Yeah, exactly.
But then, this man that you're describing often was then caught in the freeze mode, which means a limp dick.
Yes, exactly. And so, mm-hmm. So what we ended up doing is we decided that I was not the best fit for what he needed. He ended up working with a therapist who specializes in addressing chronic stress and trauma. And then he sent me an email a couple of years later saying, hey, I just want to circle back. You know, things are much better because now I understand this. And when I get stressed out, I don't take it personally that my body responds this way.
Oh, that's major. And you helped him on that line of thinking, I think.
Yeah,
I believe.
I helped him see it, and then he worked with somebody who specializes in, you know, and it was tied into childhood stress and the way that his parents role modeled dealing with difficult situations. You know, but the two of them really didn't have a sexual problem. They had a stress problem.
Yes.
You know.
And many people do.
Yeah, especially in this
have world. A stress we're problem.
We're all stressed out right now.
Lots of people are.
Yeah. It's a lot going
so,
on.
So, what? I'm sorry. Say that last part again.
Oh, I said there's a lot going on for folks.
Yeah, lots. So, and you write in your. The main website, I guess it's the main one, MakeSexEasy.com, but also CharlieGlickman.com is your other one. But you write, I want you to feel confident that I can help you expand your capacity for pleasure. Boy, that's what I want to, you know.
Well, and like I said, that's why I do the intro calls, because I'm not always the right fit, but I'm always happy to suggest one of my colleagues, because you know, different people have different needs. Like there's another sexological body worker here in Seattle, Katie Spataro. She's also a full-spectrum doula, and so I can definitely help folks, you know, whose bodies are recovering from labor and delivery. But, you know, if somebody really needs expertise, I send them to Katie. Right. So
yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Everyone's got their area of expertise. So we, you know, it's important to be able to find the right person for this kind of work.
Yeah. Finding the right fit is so important. so I think, and people can go on your website, MakeSexEasy.com, and they can read more about your sexological body work. And I read to you Back to the Body, they held in various locations, 4,300 to 5,800. This is an investment. You cost a lot less than that.
It's true.
my rates are usually with sliding scale occasionally, $150 an hour, and which is lower than some people with my 38 years of experience. But I want to be helpful, and I want to make I find it very satisfying, and I can tell you do too, to make a difference in people's lives. And it is an investment in your sexuality. And if people have a happy sex life with themselves, or even better, with a partner, they're so much happier. they're just so much happier.
Well, exactly. And, you know, they're happier. The people they're in relationship with are happier. The people in their lives are happier. You know, I think that you'll agree with me on this, that, you know, the happier we are, the more we can support the happiness of the people around us, and then vice versa, the more they support our own. And it really becomes a virtuous circle.
A virtuous, yeah, I like that, virtuous circle.
Rather than a vicious one where, you know, bad leads to bad, yeah. A virtuous one is that good leads to good. So,
yes. Yeah,
it's really, I think the best thing you can do, anybody can do, as far as helping the people in their lives be happy, is to be happy ourselves.
Yes. And I know you to be a happy person, and you know me to be a happy person. And that's one reason we're good at what we do.
Yeah,
and our boundaries are good.
It's true.
And healthy.
It's tough. It's really tough work to do if you're not happy yourself.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And so we're about to, the show always ends a couple minutes before the top of the hour. I wanted to let the listeners know that Dr. Charlie Glickman will be back the 23rd of July for a part two. We'll probably, he has so many areas that he can discuss with great expertise, so we'll probably move beyond the sexological body work.
Yeah, we'll find something else to talk about. We never.
Oh, we can do that easily. So,
fantastic.
I'm so grateful for your expertise and your intelligence and your EQ and your experience with all of this.
Thanks,
Charlie. It's really, really impressive. And you are an international speaker, too. You go around talking about this, and I appreciate that you came on this program again to talk about this.
It is always a pleasure to get to spend some time together.
Thank you again, Dr. Charlie. That's the music.
Bye-bye,
everybody. Thank you.
Calibro affascini il tuo cuore, e se ti perderai nel labirinto di un amaro autore, ma i tuoi piedi, ta 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 ta.